Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All things ATL. ATL. For everything Falcons.
First of the end zone, touchdown!
This is Peachtree Football. Now, your host, Dylan Matthews and Bo Morgan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, alongside the man, the myth, the legend himself, Bo Morgan, and we are Peachtree Football. Make sure you guys like this podcast, follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Peachtree Football is there, and you already know, the best Atlanta Falcons podcast in the entire multiverse. Bo Morgan, it is Wednesday, man. What's going on? These weeks, man, when football season starts, you kind of get in a routine. I feel like the weeks just go by super fast. But can you already believe we're heading into week four? We're about to, you know, we chop the football season up in quarters. And now it's like a quarter plus a game since we have 17 games now. But we're about to be done with the first quarter, Bo. Can you believe it?
The only thing that I was thinking about this morning of where we're at, your exact question, can I believe it? Mm-hmm. And then that hit me, and I said, well, if, you know, football season and we are already three games to the NFL isn't enough for you to know that we're almost through the first quarter.
Right.
Which normally ends, the first quarter normally ends around the beginning of October. Yep. If that wasn't enough. If the brisk air outside early mornings wasn't enough, which I'm a fan of, like this is perfect for me. Anything colder, I don't like walking outside and going to the gym. I mean, I'm okay with it, but I like it where I can still walk around out with a t-shirt and shorts and not be like, you know. So if that's not enough for you, if Florida-Tennessee game, which happens every year near the end of September, nearly the third game of the season, used to be both teams' first SEC game.
Right.
That's not enough for you. Well, then you should know that fall is almost here because the Mets are choking down the stretch yet again.
There it is.
So that should be enough for you to know. So to answer your question, I couldn't believe it until it hit me this morning that, hey, Braves are now tied for first place. The Mets are gacking it down the stretch. Yeah, man, fall must be here.
Let me bring in a special guest real quick. Hey, Chipper, are you happy with what's going on right now then, at least? Chipper says yeah.
Well, I can go grab Austin Riley, third baseman, but Austin's quite a – he's more than a stone – he's about a stone throw away. I mean, you know, maybe if I was skipping it, not too far from me. Right. He's on the other wall.
But no, if you haven't heard, Braves and Mets are now once again tied atop the NL East, and both just have one more game until they start a head-to-head series, their final head-to-head series of the year. So there you go. A little Braves news for you on Peachtree Football. With that being said, let's get into some football. Bo Morgan, as the Atlanta Falcons continue to prepare for the Cleveland Browns, we've had a little news on the side of the Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett was involved in a car accident. We do know nothing life-threatening, but there are now questions in place of, is he going to be able to play? So that his status is a little up in the air right now. Again, it's good that it's not life threatening because, you know, you never want to hear that. Never want to hear anybody gets in a car crash either. But he's okay. So now it's just a speculation of, is he going to play? And at this point, you wouldn't mind if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, if you're like, Miles, you know, why don't you sit this one out this 1 week? You know, really get healthy for your next opponent. But how big of a difference does it really make if Miles Garrett does not play? Because, I mean, I know they have a lot. They have a very good defense overall, but Miles Garrett really stirs the drink when it comes to that Cleveland Browns defense.
Well, anytime a guy that's in 6 years already has 61 and a half sacks for his career might not play, I think that's a big deal. I mean, the guy's already got three. You know, we were talking about Grady Jarrett the other day, and Grady through three games has 2.5 sacks and 4 tackles for loss and 3 quarterback hits. And that's really good that's our best player on defense, right?
Yeah, right.
That's our money guy. And this guy's already got 3 sacks and 4 tackles for loss, and he is with 5 quarterback hits. He's a through and through pass rusher. He's a, you know, legitimate defensive end, where Grady is a defensive tackle who, you know, plays in a 3-4, so he can be split out wide at times. But he's it. He's their pass rush. This is a team with multiple first round picks on that front. They got Taven Bryant, who was a first round pick, Jadeveon Clowney, who didn't play last week, but he's still a guy that was a first round pick. And you've got Miles Garrett up there. And this defense is pretty good, to your point. That being said, I think 100% Miles Garrett will be playing if this was in January.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mild shoulder sprain. I think it was a mild, maybe an ankle, or there's another sprain. I think there's a really good chance, though, that he doesn't play because it's September. And this is the perception of Atlanta. They can say whatever garbage they want to say in the press, but up there in Cleveland, Stefanski and them are perceiving Atlanta as a weaker opponent. Now, they won't run the ball down their damn throats come Thursday afternoon, starting at 1:02. But that being said, that's what they're going to probably think. So they might be hesitant to play Miles Garrett, and I don't blame them, because he is your best player on defense. And maybe withstanding Nick Chubb, and then he's your best player on the team. Maybe, you know, you could probably say he is.
That's close debate.
Well, I mean, it is, honestly.
Yeah. Him and Chubb are right there.
You've got a top 5 pass rusher in the NFL, and then on the other side of the ball, you've got one of the top 5 running backs in the NFL, and guy who's leading the league right now in rushing. So I tend to think they might lean towards caution, but it's also going to depend on how Miles Garrett feels on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will be a huge boost to the Atlanta Falcons if he doesn't play. But you're right. As far as the Cleveland Browns, though, go Kevin Stefanski, right? You're probably right. Is behind closed doors underestimating the matchup that the Atlanta Falcons bring to this game. So it's going to be really interesting to see if he does play. Like you said, I think we all pretty much know that if you practice on Friday, there's a good chance you'll play. So our question might get answered on Friday to whether he practices or not, or if he's limited. So we'll see. But there is a really good chance he won't play, because they should get Jadeveon Clowney back, who you just talked about, because Clowney did not play last week in their Thursday night matchup against the Steelers. And I heard Wes bring this up in the broadcast against the Seahawks. So the Browns have had extra time to rest up and, you know, match up with the, you know, kind of get ready for the Falcons.
Well, and remember one thing, Dylan, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one thing, Miles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, while they were both first round picks and highly touted coming out of college and dominant in the college game, they're not the same player in the NFL.
Oh, no.
Jadeveon Clowney only has about 42 or 43 sacks in his career in the NFL. No. He's much more of a run stopping defensive end.
Yep.
Whereas Myles Garrett is more of a guy who's going to get after the now. He can stop the run. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking that away. But he is a bona fide number one pass rushing threat in this league and a top five guy coming off the edge. You know, he's up there with a Von Miller. So to your point, if Jadeveon Clowney does play, it does help them tremendously from that stopping the run standpoint. Yep. So it is good to note that they are different players when it comes to that.
Yeah, for sure. And they're both going to bring different things to the table. And that's why together as a tandem, they can be really scary because you got one guy who is, you know, I won't say better at stopping the run, but he specializes more in stopping the run. And then you got a more well-rounded guy, Myles Garrett, who can definitely sack your quarterback and stop the run as well and just blow up plays in the backfield, period. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Kevin Stefanski and Myles Garrett approach this week and really to see if he plays because it is going to be, like I said, a big boost to the Atlanta Falcons if he does not play. Because if he doesn't play, that's one less guy and probably the biggest guy on defense that you don't have to worry about. You already got to worry about enough guys because, like I said, you probably got to worry about Clowney. You know, you got to think about Denzel Ward there in the backfield. So there's a lot of guys you already got to take into consideration on that defense, and not having to worry about the biggest guy would be a huge help for not only the Atlanta Falcons running game, but the passing game as well, just their offense overall. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. But Falcons fans, definitely something to keep your eye on this week is Myles Garrett practicing. Does he practice on Friday? Because I can almost guarantee you if he doesn't practice on Friday, he's probably not playing. So there you go.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, Bo, I want to talk about this as well. We're through 3 weeks of the season. Falcons not where they want to be, but they have had, in totality of the season, they have had solid performances in every single game. Both have come at different times. You know, in the Saints game, more of a solid first half than a second half. In the Rams game, it was vice versa, more of a solid second half than the first half. And in Seattle, that's when you really kind of put together more so of an entire four quarters, and obviously you won that game. With that being said, though, who has been the most, and we'll do defense next, but we'll start with the offense first. Who has been the most surprising player on offense for you this season? Because the offense has been humming pretty well. I mean, we are ninth in scoring at, 27, a little over 27 and a half points per game, I believe. So the offense has been putting up points, almost 30 points per game. We're not far off from that, and that's got us ninth in scoring. So what player on offense are you most surprised with and has been a pleasant surprise so far this season?
Yeah, we're right at 26.7 points per game. I think the obvious answer would be Cordarrelle Patterson. That's not my answer because, honestly,
I don't think that's a surprise, honestly.
I don't think it is either. I think that's what people want, but I think the fact of the matter is we knew this was kind of guy. The fact – I will say what's surprising about Cordarrelle Patterson is he has, 300 yards after
– Yeah.
Or over 300 yards after three games, and he's second in rushing. That's a little bit surprising.
Right.
It's not surprising how well he's running the ball.
Right.
With the fact that the offensive line has played so well. But for me, without a shadow of a doubt, personally, the guy that has shut me is Drake London. I wasn't overly high on the draft pick. I would have went and gotten Chris Olave. I thought Chris Olave, who New Orleans drafted, was the best wide receiver in the draft. I thought he could run. I thought he was a good route runner. He was a true home run vertical threat. And I think he runs well with the ball after the reception. You know, he's a yak guy to me. He was at Ohio State. They didn't feel that way. They went and got a big physical guy and a 6'4", 215-pound Drake London, who honestly, I thought had durability issues in college, and that worried me. That was another thing that worried me. Drake London has literally made me feel like a big old dum-dum because he has done nothing but go out there and do everything this offense needs. Yep. This guy's already got 16 catches for a little over 200 yards. This guy is already scoring touchdowns. The play he made in Seattle, and I know we talked about this in the first one, he knew where to go, how to run his route right.
Right.
Him and Marcus were on the same page as far as the pressure was coming. Marcus made a big time throw because if you go back and watch the replay, they basically pass off the blitzing linebacker, and it looked like Dahlman, and I don't know what the protection call was, so bear with me. But there looked like to be some miscommunication between either the quarterback with his line shift based off the pressure, because Marcus knew the pressure was coming. They declared a little early, but there was some kind of miscommunication between Gossett and Dahlman up front.
Right.
Where he was passed off, but neither guy looked like Gossett in his mind was passing him off and taking another defender. And Dahlman never moved over. Dahlman's head was over here because he came to the left side. All that being said, maybe Marcus that was what Marcus called. And he called that knowing that these guys were coming and he was and where Drake was going to be. And they clearly have a chemistry. You know, all that crap about Kyle Pitts and everything, all that was being talked about while no one was thinking about the fact that, hey, there's a real chemistry between Marcus and Drake London. So maybe that was a part of it. But I've said all of that to tell you that Marcus stood in there and made a big-time throw, and Drake was there. He ran the route perfect, made the catch. But all of the stuff before that, to me, is Marcus. As soon as the catch is made, it was all Drake.
Yep.
And Drake cut back or spin kind of back and going back and then to be getting drug one way, get hit and go into the end zone. It's a big time, big bodied move by a big time, big bodied receiver. And I just said big time receiver because that's what Drake London is. And I am just blown away with how quickly he became the number one receiver on this team.
Yep.
Because I know Kyle Pitts is a tight end, but dude, everybody knows Kyle Pitts is the number one target, but so far, Drake London has been the number one weapon when it comes to perimeter for this team. And I'm just, honestly, it's a little bit earlier than I thought it would happen. And I just didn't know if he would be this good. And I just feel like what we've seen already makes me feel like this guy's going to be really good.
And the other thing about it, too, that came in the red zone where we've been needing and we've been having to get better. That came in the red zone. So not only is he producing, he's producing in the red zone where we've been needing to find those big body targets like Kyle Pitts and the Drake London. And that's what he's doing. He's producing all over the field, but most importantly, he's producing in the red zone. And I want to talk about another play since you brought up Drake London. I am totally with you on this. Another play that I actually shout out to Dan Orlovsky. He was on his Twitter and he was doing a film breakdown. And I was just scrolling through Twitter and I saw, you know, he was doing a film breakdown. And I glanced real quick and I was like, hold up, this is of the Falcons. And he was doing the play where Marcus Mariota again was getting pressured. And it was a good throw by Marcus Mariota, considering that he had defensive linemen breathing right down his neck and all up in his face. But it was the play where he had to put a little bit more air on the throw, and he hit Drake London. It was probably around our own 30 or something like that.
Yeah, we were inside. We were backed up a little bit. I know what play you're talking about, to Drake. Yeah, I know what play you're talking about. I'll help you out a little bit because I have somebody who's going to have a vivid memory of this play. Yeah, they were coming.
Yeah.
And we were backed up, and it was one of those drives. I think it might have started around like our 10. somewhere. It was a good punt, and he basically what would be kind of the equivalent of it wasn't quite, but it was very much similar to a back shoulder throw.
Yes.
He just, you know, that's where that, and you just mentioned that's the chemistry that I was talking about. He put the ball up, and Drake, and to your point, it's very good description by you, puts enough air on the ball, you know, he's able to come back to it and make the catch. And that immediately got you out of, you know, back into a, you know, if you're playing a game, when you play these close games, field position matters, right? So you're in, you're backed up in field position, basically, you know, puts you back in a good field position standing.
And the thing that was so impressive by Drake is that, and Dan Orlovsky did a great job, in my opinion, of pointing this out. So he basically made it seem like, he basically made himself look like a decoy to the DB. So he kind of starts off his route, you know, I don't want to use the word lazily because he wasn't being lazy, obviously, but he kind of starts off his route a little bit slower, you know, making himself like a decoy, trying to make it look like, you know, the play was going away from him. He almost tried to make it look like he was about to block the DB almost. Then he makes a nice kind of in cut, then goes back out, and then he turns on the burners, goes right by the dude, and then he obviously makes a nice over the shoulder catch, and it was a good throw by Marcus as well too. So, and I bring that play up to talk about not only his playmaking ability, but the maturity as well, because, you know, it's one thing to run a good route, but to have the wherewithal and to have the awareness and the football IQ to know to kind of, you know, lull the DB to sleep a little bit, make him think the play is going the other way, make him think that Drake isn't in the player, he's not getting the football, and then just, boom, quickly turn off the afterburners, go by him and make a play and make the catch. I am surprised, like you said, how quickly he has become a number one option for the Atlanta Falcons, how quickly he has been producing, because with him getting hurt early on and not practicing a whole bunch, I mean, I thought, you know, he could get off to a slow start. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be upset about it because, you know, he was rolling maybe a little bit behind the eight ball. But, no, he hit the ground absolutely running, and I am super, super duper excited to see what all Drake London is going to do this year because, I mean, the production is off the charts right now, and hopefully it just keeps going. And he's just going to, you know, with Kyle Pitts, they're just going to open things up for each other. As Kyle gets going and Drake keeps going, they're just going to open things up for each other, and it's going to make this offense really, really, really potent.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But I want to go ahead and touch on mine real quick. It's on the offensive side of the football, but I'm going to go with Caleb McGarry because the thing about offensive linemen is, Bo, you don't really want to hear their names. But when you do, most of the time, it's a bad thing. We haven't really heard Caleb McGarry's name on the broadcast. I mean, Wes Durham and Dave Archer, luckily, have only been really saying good things about the offensive line. Not too many bad things about the offensive line and Caleb McGarry in particular. And we all know Caleb McGarry coming into the season was on a contract year. And, you know, the vibe around Caleb wasn't too great, to be honest. But now it's becoming... It's a little early, but it's starting to creep into at least my mind of, okay, Caleb may be on his way to earning a second contract with the Falcons if he keeps up the play that he's playing right now. So for me, it's been Caleb McGarry I've been most surprised with. And, you know, we talked about all as well to him in the offseason, him coming in a little bit more jacked, a little bit more, not burly, but, you know, muscular. So Caleb McGarry, he's looked good so far. He's putting those muscles to use.
Yeah, I never bought the he's more jacked now crap, because I've been around the guy since he was drafted and he looks exactly the same to me. I think it was a perfect timing pitcher,
right?
For where Caleb, he was flexing. Caleb basically alluded to that in training camp when we talked to him. And it was good. I got a brief moment to talk to him in Seattle. In the hotel, and I know that he was happy to be home. You know, he's Washington State.
Went
he
to
played
Washington,
yeah. University of Washington. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I know he was. It was cool for him to be back, and I definitely think he had a little juice from being at home, playing at home, you know, and playing in Seattle, near where, you know, where he went to college, near where, you know, because University of Washington is up there, and
right.
So I think that was good for him. But look, he's had a couple of moments that weren't great. I think the Hail Mary play in the Rams game, he got
beat,
and it forced Marcus to move out of the pocket early, and ultimately led to them not getting the ball up and out. And I mean, everybody makes a big deal about that. Problem is, a Hail Mary, the chances are very low, but you would like to see the ball at least get in the air. But overall, yeah, Caleb McGarry, man, he's played really well, and he was opening some holes. You know, Chuck Smith came on with us yesterday and talked about he was really, making some holes and being a big part of the run game and being able to get to the second level, which is key.
Right.
So all that being said, I agree. The thing for me is you mentioned the contract, the contract year. I need to see more than three games of where it's been good and a little bit of bad, but mainly good. I need to see more. 3 years hasn't been great. Nope. I think he is clearly affected by better players being on this line. I think Lindstrom is being affected by, I think Dahlman's doing a really good job. So I think I've always said that if you can have, you don't need all five all pro. I see I've always said this. My thing is, let me rephrase that because that just sounds ridiculous. My thing is, you don't need five all pros in the offensive line.
Nope.
You can have a one, you're lucky. There's not a lot up there.
Right.
Yeah, you just need guys who can do their job. And honest to God, they got some guys that can do their job. And I was loved the way Colby Gossett filled in. I don't think it affected them. I saw a couple of moments we just talked about earlier. Maybe there was some miscommunication, but it didn't hurt this offensive line. They looked well, and Caleb McGarry's been a big part of that. And let me tell you something. That's the kind of guy that I think would be willing to stay if they want him back and he continues to perform this way. I think he's a guy that could stay, and I don't think it's going to kill you, but that's way ahead for me. But I am very impressed so far with Caleb McGarry, the way he's got off to a season, because he handled Cam Jordan that first week. And I think Marcus Mariota's helped him a little bit too, being a guy that can move. But, yeah, totally agree. I like what he's done so far.
Yeah, I think Marcus, you touched on that. He made a very good point. Marcus has helped, in my opinion, the entire offensive line by his mobility. So, you know, that helps make the offensive line honestly look just a wee bit better. But you still don't want to take anything away from them because they still have been very good as a unit. But Marcus definitely, his mobility definitely helps that. And two, I do want to ask you a real quick question before we talk about our defensive players that have surprised us enough. We know Elijah Wilkinson was out due to a personal reason on Sunday. Have you heard anything? I personally haven't. Is he going to be good to go for this Sunday against the Browns?
I have not heard yet. I think we'll get an update today from Arthur Smith on Dukes and Bell if you get a chance to listen. I think we'll get an update about that then. Okay. But have not heard yet. I just don't know. I would love to say, yeah, I think he'll play. I think if he has gotten, you know, if he's gotten the things that he had the personal matter taken care of, I would expect to see him back. I don't think he would lose his job over one game, and I think he's played pretty well. So,
yeah,
hopefully we find out today, and look, hopefully have the big fella back because he's played very well so far. Nothing against Colby Gossett. I think the best thing is this is a team that we were sweating depth, and we lost the guy in the third game. And the depth didn't seem to be an issue after 1 week, but you know, playing a stout defensive line like Cleveland brings in, you would hope to be back at full tilt.
Exactly. And then the thing too about, you know, the offensive line is you want to keep those same guys because, you know, sometimes we don't talk about this enough, I think. In 2016, you had the same offensive line all season long. And what happened? You were in the Super Bowl. Now, it's not the only reason you went to the Super Bowl, but that was a big part of why you were in the Super Bowl. You had the same offensive line all season long. That continuity on the offensive line is important. So that's another reason you really want to have Elijah Wilkinson back. You want to keep as much continuity for as long as possible on the offensive line. So, well, make sure you guys tune in to Dukes and Bell today and hear what Coach Arthur Smith has to say. And hopefully we get an answer on Elijah Wilkinson and get some insight there. I'm sure we will.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's move on to the defensive side of the football, because we talked about it, Bo, when we reacted to the game on Monday. This defense, they did what they had to do. They made some plays, and Bo, they bended. They didn't break though. Most of the time, when it came to defense, they bended. They gave up some field goals. They gave a touchdown here and there, but I feel like they kicked more field goals and they scored touchdowns when they made it to the red zone. So very, very much bend. Didn't really break on the defensive side of the football, and that's what we need. We need to see more of that. So, with that being said, who have you been most surprised with on the defensive end so far?
Well, that one's a little bit rough for me. I really have been impressed. I'm going to give you two, and one's going to be positive quickly, and one's going to be negative quickly.
Yeah.
The defensive backs in Hayward and A.J. Terrell, I've been a little bit disappointed in.
Me too.
I thought Casey Hayward would play better than he has. And I think A.J. has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. Yeah. Now, I thought A.J. played well in week one, even though he gave it those two touchdown passes. I thought those were just – the coverage was great.
Yeah.
The coverage was great. And I thought Jameis just made really good throws, and that's why they got one of Heisman.
And Michael Thomas made great catches as well too. Like, they were just great throws and catches.
Yeah, so that one disappointed me a little bit. More really with Hayward's play so far.
Right.
And so that's one that's kind of stuck in my craw a little bit. But honestly, I've liked the way Rashawn Evans has played. Now, I don't think he had a huge impact in game two, but I thought last week he was last week he had 12 tackles. He had two pass breakups. He had one TFL, so, you know, he could have had more. But I just think personally he's played really well. He's kind of given you what you've needed.
Yes.
Michael Walker has made plays,
mm-hmm.
but Michael Walker, to me, has some consistency issues that he could kind of work on, where it almost at times, and I hate this because I don't believe this is true for a linebacker because you're involved in so many plays. But it's been a little bit of a boom or bust with him at times, you know. He's missed some plays he could have made. He's also made some plays
when they needed it.
So, to me, Rashawn Evans has been a guy, though, has been pretty consistent. He's played well. The pass breakups is something, you know, that he was a little bit known in Tennessee as a guy who maybe didn't play run fit as well as they wanted, but I think he's been pretty good at that. So I think Rashawn Evans would be a guy so far that's kind of stood out to me after the first three games. And we're happy to have a guy like that here. Trust me. You know, a veteran player who's got a chip on his shoulder on defense. Yeah, bring it. I'm all for it. And I hope I didn't take too many away from you.
No.
But yeah, I just realized, I go, well, crap, I just named like five guys that I could talk about. Man, I just cut Dylan's talking points in half.
Yep, nope. Let's just wrap up now. I got nothing else to say. No, I'm just kidding. But no, for me on defense, and this is going to sound a little bit crazy because we know how good he can be, but for me, it's Grady Jarrett. And for all the doubt there was coming into, you know, this offseason before he got his contract about, you know, does he fit, you know, whatever, you know, is he going to have enough playmakers to make an impact, this and that and the third. He has been amazing. And there, to me, honestly, it seems like there's a new fire lit under Grady Jarrett. I'm not saying his fire got extinguished before, or he wasn't playing hard before, but it just seems like he has a little extra juice. He has a little extra oomph. Like, he, to me, it seemed like this season he has kicked it into a whole nother gear, and he's gotten back to being that force that he was, you know, in 16 and years beforehand too. He has started off so strong this season. And we've talked about him a few times on this podcast because he has been so good. But I just feel like the dominance of Grady Jarrett and him really making his presence known is something we have to speak on, because, you know, last year he did kind of get left in the fold. And that's for a couple of reasons. It's not all on Grady Jarrett, what happened last year. A lot of it was because the guys around him weren't performing, you know, up to par. He was getting double and triple teamed. But the thing about it, too, is he's still getting double teamed now. I don't know about triple team, but he's getting double teamed now. But he's fighting his way through those double teams and still making plays and still having an impact. So the fact that he's elevated his game and now he's starting to squeeze through those double teams and still make plays, I think we have to give some credit to Grady Jarrett, because he was already great. He stepped his game up, I believe, and he's added another level to his game, and he's really taken his game to a whole nother level. Like I said, he just looks like he's playing on another gear right now.
Well, you mentioned a good point that he's got some guys near him, around him that maybe take some emphasis away.
For
sure.
Having
a Lorenzo Carter coming off the edge, Ebby Cady, those guys, you know, you're getting a solid. They're normally taking a tackle and eating them up, but he's got guys inside like Anthony Rush. And let me tell you something, Grady Jarrett has been affected by guys like Anthony Rush, Timmy Horn, but more importantly to me, Abdul Anderson, who's played the last two games, and TQ Graham. Those guys, especially TQ Graham, Taquan Graham, who's a second round guy, he started to round into a pretty solid player, and that has helped because you have to pay attention to these guys. And I saw multiple times, well, one point in time where Grady had his helmet ripped off. And I don't know how the hell you get your damn helmet ripped off and you don't call a penalty, because that's hands to the face. And I sat there and watched the guy just shove his helmet off. But anyways, that really irritated me, because and Grady was like, dude, he goes to Rebby, he's like, how do you think my helmet came off? You think it just fell off?
I just took my helmet off in the middle of the play?
Now, yeah, I mean, those aren't. This is at the end of the play. You know, he went to the ref, but in the middle of the play, his helmet comes off, and he. And look, I'm not saying that's what Grady said, but that's what I would have been saying with some explicit words in there.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is Grady getting help, but I could see Grady. I don't want to say that Grady always plays hard. So what I'm about to say, do not take it like I'm saying Grady plays when he wants to play. Grady plays every down the same way. I watch the damn line of scrimmage with binoculars, part of my spotting job, and I watch how he plays and how he fights.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Grady took it to another level in the fourth quarter.
And
that was something that he could smell the win. This guy had, three tackles for loss, I think, Sunday, and a sack in the fourth quarter when it was needed, and Lorenzo Carter stepped up as well. Those guys are feeding off each other, so I love the Grady Jarrett. Maybe Grady just heard shouldn't have got that contract. Maybe Grady got tired of hearing in his home city that he doesn't fit the defense and should be traded. Dean Pease is showing that whole crap, I don't say whole, but the majority of doesn't fit the scheme stuff is made up. Yep. Good coach has a player, an all-pro caliber player like a Grady Jarrett. You fit
you
the defense
out.
Around that guy.
Exactly.
Okay? When you come somewhere with a guy like – there ain't a lot of Grady Jarretts. They don't grow on trees, as we know. So that whole get rid of Grady thing was one of the most ridiculous things to me I heard, just because we are weak everywhere at the point in time where we're talking about it, and you want to get rid of the best player on defense – in the most weakest part of our defense, which is the line of scrimmage. So I'm glad to see Grady playing at a high level. Love the fact that you picked Grady, because it gave us a moment to really talk about the big fella who we've come to just expect him to play like he does.
Right.
And so we don't talk about him when he takes over games. much like he did Sunday.
And the thing about it is, too, is, you know, when we talk about the whole does he fit the DNP system, the thing about it is, too, I think people forget that Grady isn't a one-trick pony. Grady is versatile. Like, I heard Rob Tribble and Mike Bell talking about it on Dukes and Bell. You know, they were saying Grady, if Grady needed to play the edge, he could play the edge. Like, he could be an edge rusher. Obviously, that's not his, you know, his main wheelhouse, but that's something he can do and something he's not, you know, necessarily against doing or can't do. So Grady isn't a one-trick pony. So it's not only the fact of, you know, Dean Pease is fitting what he's doing around Grady Jarrett, but Grady Jarrett can adjust his game a little bit too to help Dean Pease. So, like, they can meet in the middle. They can meet halfway. Yeah. So that makes it even more a load of baloney to me, because not only can DP scheme around Grady, but Grady can fit his game a little bit around Dean Pease.
Yeah, I don't really think – I think that gets looked at a little bit oddly when people say he's playing the edge. I think when you look, he might be on the edge as far as what we're looking at, but in reality,
yeah, there's somebody.
He's not really playing the edge like
he's
like
not it, the super
Steve. But yeah, at times, and you know, if you can move him to that on that you know out there wide, and especially if it's a run play. I think though with Grady, the thing that I like is he's a guy who he obviously is not an Aaron Donald. Like, he's not Aaron Donald.
Right.
But he can do some of the same things where he's strong against the run and he can get after the quarterback as well. I mean, look, Grady, again, is not, you know, Aaron Donald has, I think Aaron Donald is, if he's at or over 100 sacks, where Grady only has around 30. Grady has, I think, 29 in his career. So I'm not saying he's that guy, but he's a guy that can kind of do it all, to your point, where he's good against the run, stout against the run, and he's also a guy that can get after the quarterback when he did.
So, Grady, again, he definitely needs some credit because, like you said, he took it to another gear in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks, and I honestly think he's been, again, we're not saying he doesn't play hard, and he has always played hard. Grady Jarrett has always played hard. We can't emphasize that enough, but I just feel like he's found another gear he maybe – didn't even know he could take it to that he's taking it to this year. So that's the thing for Grady Jarrett. Yeah.
And to your point, Grady came in great. I want one thing before we finish.
Great shape. Yeah.
Grady came in. He came in lighter, or maybe not even lighter, but he was leaner.
Yes.
I remember at training camp, I pointed out me and DJ Shockley, because this defensive line got bigger. Me and Shock are standing there and I go, Grady looked smaller to you this year? Like maybe like not smaller, but leaner. Like he looks, his body looks different. And Shock, we were at distance. Shock says, yeah, remember, those are some big dudes he's standing next to. I go, yeah, you're right. But he goes, but then Shaq goes, but he does look good, right?
Yeah.
But then Archie and I were standing there, and I said, all right, I asked this to Shaq, and Shaq made a good point that he looks better. He looks, you know, looks in good shape, but also he's next to some big dudes. I go, what do you think? And he goes, well, Shaq's right. He's standing next to some big-ass dudes. Those dudes are bigger than they used to be. And I go, okay. He goes, but I talked to Grady. And he goes, Grady came in great shape. He's in a really good place. All fulfilled as he is on the field with, you know, we just had a kid. And he goes, but Grady has kind of changed some things up with how he trained and in his eating habits. And so it was good insight from Arch and Shock, who are two of the best in the business and two really good friends of mine, guys I've gotten to work with and become friends with on and off broadcast and the press box and work environment, but good insight from both of them. And Grady came in here motivated, and we are seeing that dial on. We are absolutely seeing that. Sorry, had to get that in there because when you said you jogged my memory, and it just popped. I was like, oh yeah, totally forgot about that. That was a cool story, cool little insight about Grady.
No, that is an amazing story on Grady, and I mean that really gives us insight and paints a picture as to why Grady is having the success that he's having. So I love bragging on Grady Jarrett because, man, a lot of times he doesn't get bragged on as much as he should. And like you said, after he deserves it after, you know, people in this city have been trying to trade him away the past couple of months. So dang it, Grady deserves to be bragged on for a little bit. And we're going to end it with that because I love talking about Grady Jarrett. He's a great football player, man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But that is this edition of Peachtree Football. Again, make sure you like this podcast. Follow the podcast wherever you get your podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Peachtree Football is there. We are inching closer to week four. Falcons versus the Browns. The Browns are coming here. It's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this Sunday, folks. Bo mentioned it. 1:02, the exact kickoff time. And we can't wait to talk to you on Friday and really, really, really get into the matchup, because there are some interesting matchups here. There are some things the Atlanta Falcons can exploit. There are some things that, you know, Cleveland is bringing a very, very, very tough challenge. But we'll get into all of that on Friday. So for Bo Morgan, it is Dylan Matthews. Thank you guys again for listening. And until we talk to you guys next time, peace. I'm saving you know what for Friday, Bo. I'm saving it. So
all right.
I'm going with the peace for now. See you guys. H-E-L.